Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Ayin Chet. Now, yesterday, the last thing that we learned was the din of Tihiyena. So we were wondering why we don't say that the halacha, which we learn out up to the Lachmiteda, from the Shtei Halechem, should apply the two which we were learning out. We learned out that since we have two Esronot, we should use one Isaron per Chala, just like we use one Isaron per Chala. But we asked, well, maybe it means that we should apply the entire amount of the Shnei Esronim to the entirety of the Chalos Matzis of the Toida. So we said, well, the Torah says Tiyena, as if that proves something. It wasn't very clear at all what that proved. So my Talmud, how in the world does the word Tihiyena mean that you use one Yisaron per Challah? Omer of Yitzchak Baravodimi, you know how we know it? From the double Yud. Tihiyena, if we write it Malay like that, why are we writing Yud Yud? To tell me that we need 10, which tells me that each one, the Chometz of the Teda, is 10 Esronot, meaning each one of them is the Yisaron. Well, I mean, it doesn't say 10 Esronot, does it? Maybe it means 10 ounces. I don't know. Maybe it means Arsara Kapizi. Who's a Kapizi is only a third of an Isaron. So how do you know that it means a full Isaron? Says Rabbi, what's the matter with you? The Pasuk is talking about to bring Taviu Shtaim, the Lechem Tenufa Shtaim, Shnei Esronim, Solet Tiyena. So you're saying the Esronim Solet suddenly turned into Kapizis. I mean, that's ridiculous. Why would they turn into Kapizis? We're talking about Esronim, so obviously the Yud is a reference to the Yud Esronim Solet. That's simple. Okay, so now the next thing you learn, all of this is going over the Braisa that we did yesterday. The next thing that we learned in the Braisa is, okay, now we know how much there is in the chametz. How do we know how much there is in the matzah? So then we said, let's learn keneged, that since Talmud Lomar al chalot lechem chametz, that means keneged chametz havi matzah. So the Torah is comparing now the chametz to the matzah. If the matzah is 10, then even though there's 30 different lechem in the matzah, the total for those 30 lechem is also 10. But hold on a second over here. I thought you can't do that. We learned out originally a din from a Hekesh, right? And that was telling us that the Torah is comparing the Lachmei Teda, the Chometz section of the Lachmei Teda, to the Shtei Halechem. So the Torah was Makish, the Chometz to the Chometz. That's one Hekesh. Now you want to tell me that the Torah is now being Makish, the Matzah to the Chometz. Oh, now wait a minute. That is a violation of a core idea, remember. That's a lomad min a lomad, and in Zvachim we learned out that a hekesh for sure cannot be malamed in another hekesh. So if we already derived the chometz itself, the matzah itself from a hekesh, how can we use the matzah 10 to tell me what the din is of the chometz 10? V'chidavar alomad behekesh chozer malamed behekesh? Absolutely not. Try to explain that. Well, remember we have a rule called Heimenu V'davar Acher. Heimenu V'davar Acher means that when something is not entirely mevusas on a hekesh, and it utilizes another limud, you can then still use the elements of the hekesh that fill in the blanks, so to speak, to teach us something else. And that is essentially what happens over here. Kol Heimenu V'davar Acher lo havi hekesh. Since what basically in here, where we're talking about the lechem chometz of the Teda, we actually have a pasuk besides the hekesh. What's the pasuk that we had beside the hekesh? We had the gzeres shava. The gzeres shava was, it says here truma, and it says there truma. So ultimately, we needed the gzeres shava, which was comparing the truma's meiser to truma here, to teach me the final halacha of how much we would need, because we didn't know that there were 10 chalas, right? And a gzeres shava is considered to be the equivalent of something being written beferish. So since I'm comparing it, the lechem chometz, to the lechem matzah with a hekesh, But that Hekesh isn't based entirely on a Hekesh. It's based on a Hekesh which was only Melame because of the Gzereshav of Truma, the Truma's Meiser. And therefore, this is called a Hemenu V'davar Acher, and a Hemenu V'davar Acher is okay to extend it with another Hekesh to another Limud. No, no, wait, hold on 1 second over here. That was a big machlokas back in Sfachim. I mean, yes, according to Raman di Omer, I like the way you just imagine it away. I mean, that's all very nice, according to that Raman di Omer. But what about according to the Raman di Omer, who says, hey, men of a davar acher is just as much a violation of ein lamedin lomad min alamed as learning directly from a hekesh? So how is he going to explain it? How can we learn out from the dinim of the chametz of the shtei halechem? Because, in fact, the Braita uses the mimoshvotechem taviu. So that word taviu, which is not necessary to say at all taviu, because we were talking, as we pointed out in the Braita, we were talking about the din of bringing it. So why just say mimoshvot, continue the pasuk and say mimoshvotechem. The stress again, taviu, is a ribui. It's not a hekesh. And since it's a ribui, we're not basing it on a hekesh. There is no hekesh. The way to look at it is that we're being marbe an additional case of chametz. And what's that additional case of chametz? The chametz of the lachmei teda. And therefore, when the Torah now says, kineged chametz avimatzah, that is the first hekesh, not the second hekesh. And now, for a historical moment, as you'll see, a very historical moment which actually links Sir Richard not only to the flow of history, but also to the story of what we read in the laning over Shabbos and what is Nogea in the additional cases that we never spoke about yet. And that is... Thank you, Sir Richard, a voice across the generations, because we're going all the way back to the Miluim, and we forgot that we didn't really analyze the Lechem in the Miluim. We forgot about that. Well, as we learned before, remember, we actually have examples of all types of combinations, because we've got the four different types when it comes to the Lach B'Teda, and we've got the three different types when it comes to the Miluim, as we're going to see, and we've got two different types when it comes to the Lach B'Nozir, of the El Nozir, and then we have, of course, the single type of the Shtei Halechem. So we've been looking at the variations and the interrelationships between the different types of chametz and the different types of way that we can make a mincha, which is a type of lechem. Let's take a look now at something we forgot about, which is, although it's true, it only happened once in history, but let's try to understand the miluim, because it gives us an insight into the way the Torah constructs the different dinim of the chalitz. So when it came to the miluim, the miluim essentially consisted of only the matzah portion of the carbon titan. So they were unique. There was no chametz for the miluim. And we had, of course, the three variants, which are chalot, rikikin, and revucha. And that gave us 3 out of 4. And then we also have the el nazir, and the el nazir only has 2 out of 4. So Nezirut Haitaba Shteyadot Kimatzah Shel Todah. It only had 2 portions, which are the Chalot and the Rikikin, and it didn't have a Revucha. So Chalot V'Rikikin Le'in B'Revucha, which would mean that since the way that we worked it out, remember that for the Matzah, we had a very convenient way of measuring it in terms of Kabin. So we had had 15 Kabin for the Kav was the Yushalmi Kabin. 15 of those Kabin were what we were going to use for the Lach Meteda for the matzah portion. And that worked out very well because we had 5 per type and 10 lechem per type, which gave us a chatzi cup for each one so that we were able to get a precise measurement. And here, all we need to do is to subtract one of those so that we're left with only 10 copies, because we only have two-thirds. Two-thirds of 15 is 10. So nimtza asara kavin Yerushalmiot, which turns out that the Naziros, since they only had two out of the three, which is in the end two out of four, but in terms of what we know for the Chometz, so that gave us 10 kavin Yerushalmiot. Now, how would that work out in terms of the Esronot? Well, basically, I mean, we said originally how it would be, that according to the way it was in the Midbar, it was Eser, Esronot. And that would mean that if we're going to take two-thirds of Eser, Esronot, so we get 6 2/3. So that is Shisha, Esronot, Ve'odyan, and the remainders, which is the remainder in this case, is two-thirds of the Esronot, because if we split 10 Esronot and we take off the two-thirds, each third is 1 1/3, then that would be 2, that would be 2/3 would be the 6, plus the 1/3 of each is 6 2/3. So it works out very, very clearly and easily. But how do we know all of this? How do we know that there were three types of chalos in the milui? You said there were chalos, rikikin, and revucha. But it doesn't say anywhere, not in Tetzaveh, and not in Tzav, and not in Shmini, where it discusses those lechems of the miluim. It doesn't mention anywhere revucha. So, minan emili. How do we know that it's revucha? Omer of Chista, Omer of Chama Bar Guria. The Omakra, look, in the end, what's the lashon of the tzivui? Umisal amatzot asher lifnei Hashem, lakach chalat batza achat, v'chalat lechem shemen echat, v'rakik echat. Now, did you ever hear anything that's called a chalat lechem shemen? I don't recall ever hearing anything about that. It says over here, a chala of matzah and a rakik of matzah. Okay, I'm used to that terminology. Chalot and rikikin. Rikikin means like this soft wafer, we said, like the lechem tanur, the svarish matzahs, temani matzahs, right? So, okay, so I know what that is. So, bishlama, it says chalot. Okay, chalot is chalot. It says rikik. Rikik is a rikik. I know what a rikik is. But what in the heck is a lechem shemen? Lechem shemen, mind you. I mean, the only thing that we know that takes a lot of oil is the revucha, which makes sense. Because remember, we said that we use chetzi lug for the chalos and rikikin, and Revias Halug for the Chalos Rikikin, and the other Revias Halug, which was the Chatz Halug that was given over only to the Matzah, that Revias Halug was used for the Revucha, which meant that part of the definition of the Revucha was that it was seeped in double the amount of oil. So it makes sense that we would call it a Lechem Shemen. So that must be the remez to the Revucha here in the Milui. Well, I mean, Atkifla Ravavi, I mean, just because it calls it a lechem shemen, I mean, remember that the revucha was pretty complicated because it was also boiled and it had multiple, it was put into oil, then boiled, and then it was fried in oil. I mean, maybe this just means not a technical revucha, maybe just means like an oily kind of dough. So it's referring to an anta de mishkan. It's referring to like a deep fried dough. I mean, others learn maybe it means pure oil, solidified oil. I find that very difficult to believe. Ella, you're right. Okay, so lechem shemen doesn't necessarily tell me a technical revucha. So I'll tell you. If we take a look, Reb Nachum bar Reb Chista said over a beautiful drasha in the name of Rabbi Tavla. Now you recognize that pasuk. We've spoken about it. That is the dinim of the chavite kohen gadol. But it says Aaron uvanav asher yakrivu l'Hashem biyom himashachoto. But I thought that the whole din of the chavitim was only said on Aaron, and it was said on every day. So what in the world do we apply to the bonim of Aaron that we learn out from the Yomi Mashachoto of Aaron. This is very, very confusing. It doesn't say the day that we're Moshiach them. It says they were Moshiachim. So this is the korban that the children of Aaron bring on the day that Aaron, there is no such korban. Aaron brought that korban. And Aaron continues to bring that korban every day. So what is this teaching us, Bichlal? Ah, beautiful. This is the mocha of the halacha that we spoke about before, which is called Minchat Chinuch. This is the halacha that the first day that a kohen comes in to do the aveda, that is his chinuch in the aveda, he brings the same korban that Aaron brings every day. So the same way that on the Yomi Mashach of Aaron, he brought that korban, so too, on the one day, the Kohen, the first time in his life that he comes in to do the Aveda, he brings the equivalent of a Minchas Chavitin. So it's being makish, the Minchas Chinuch, to the din of the Meshicha of Aaron. So just like it says Beferish, remember, when it came to the Minchas Chavitin, it says Beferish Mur Bechet. That means it's like a completely revucha korban. So just like Himashcho is revucha, there's got to be a chelek of the meshicha of every kohen to bring a revucha, and the miluim, so every kohen brings that minchas chinuch once upon a time in his life. But when the miluim, when we consider the fact that the miluim are essentially the chinuch of the kohenim, and since chinuch is here measured by a korban murbechet, where's the korban murbech? Ah, that's the lechem shemen that you're supposed to treat the way that we treat the chavitim, which is murbechet. Beautiful drasha. So therefore, we know that there were three different lechem, not only the chalot and rikikin, which it says beferish about the matzah, but there was also a revucha. Lovely. Omer of Chista. You should know that a kohen gadol, when he is brought for the first time to be a Kohen Gadol, he has to bring two different, essentially, chavitim, because he needs to bring two, what we call, asirita efas. So two asirita efas, because that's how the Torah referred to the chavitim, that's the Korban Aharon, so shtei esronota efa, two isorona efas he brings on that day. Why? Because this is his first day as Kohen Gadol. His first day as Kohen Gadol is a Yom Chinuch. So you'll say, but he was already a Kohen Hedyot. Oh, but this is an entirely new status. This is the status of Aaron, not the Bonav. So because of that, it becomes a new Chiev of the Chinuch of the Kohen Gadol. He has to bring one Chavitim for that. And then he already has triggered, by becoming Kohen Gadol, he's triggered his Chiev to bring the daily Chavitim. So he's going to have to bring his normal Chavitim. And not only that, so one is for the Meshicha, meaning this is the day of his actual Meshicha, so to speak, as the Kohen Gadol. The Achat, the Chinucho, and the other one is his, essentially, his Meshicha is b'chayiv him to be the Kohen Mashuach, to bring a Chavitim, and the other is the fact that it's his first time as Kohen Gadol, so it's for his Chinuch. Barbarash says, no, he's got to bring three. He's not arguing. No pligi. The question is, has he already brought a minchas chinuch as a kohen hedyot? Or is this kohen gadol, basically, we just built the Beis HaMikdash, this is the new kohen gadol, but it's not only new kohen gadol, he's a new kohen. He never had an opportunity to be a kohen hedyot, right? So now that means he has to bring a minchas chinuch because this is his first day as a kohen hedyot. And then he's got to bring another minchas chinuch because this is his first day as a kohen gadol. And then he's got to bring his chavitim because today he became a kohen gadol and he has to bring his korban. So all this in preparation for the binyan beis hamikdash b'neira. So therefore, if he was avar aveda kishu kohen hedyot already, so then he already brought a minchas chinuch. So then he only has to bring two, so to speak, one new minchas chinuch for his kuri gedela, and one regular chavitim for today. But if it's also his first day, the lo avad avadah kishu kohen hedyot, he never did it before, then he has to have two separate chinuchs, even though they're concomitant. So they run Indeed, concomitantly. Okay, then you, so now we know that there were three, we know the composition of those three that were brought during the Miluim. All of this, of course, during these days of Nisan, which are these days of the Miluim. So we're very happy to be learning all of this now. Nizirut hayta ba'a shtei yadot. They were two-thirds of the matzah of the Teda. They had only chalot or kikin, velo revucha. So Tanya Rabbana, let's see where we get this. Remember that we learned out from the parsha of the Lachmei Teda, and it says over there, this the whole pasuk was v'zot torat zevach hashlamim asher yakriv la'Hashem im al toda yakrivenu v'kriv al zevach hatoda chalot matzot pevulot b'shemen rikike matzot meshuchim b'shemen v'solat murbechet chalot pevulot b'shemen. And here is the key to how we extend that into other things which are shalmei nazir al chalot lechem chametz yakriv korbano, and then for no reason, we throw in the words al zevach todat shlamav, which of course is, that's what we've been talking about. So what is this todat shlamav that we're saying? It must be there's another shlamim that is compared to that. And what is that? L'rabot shalmei nazir, that it should be the same din, and that it needs aseret kabim, like we said, the two require the same as the those equivalent to in the Lachmei Teda, which were five apiece, five kav Yerushalmiot apiece, which gives us 10 kabin Yerushalmiot, and they also need a revius of shemen that we compared them to. So since he doesn't bring all the matzah, and he doesn't bring any of the chametz, so then we basically, we do it prorated. So the three types of the matzah were 15, so two types are 10. And the chalas and the rekikin of the teid, they held a revius halug of shemen, because we had the other revius halug that was given to the revucha. Remember, we gave double to the revucha. So then that means that the equivalent in the nazir, which is only the chalas and the rekikin, get the same amount as the chalas and rekikin. Since there's no revucha, they don't need that extra revius hashemen that was given to the revucha, so they only get the revius halut shemen, which would have been given to the chalos and the rekikin of the taita. Very nice. So you might have thought, l'koma shalmur b'inyan, and we should have all three types, including revucha, and therefore we should need chamesh esrei kavim yushalmiyot. Talmud lomar, matzot. Huh? How the heck do we, what? From matzot, we learn that we only take two-thirds instead of the whole thing? My Talmud, where do we learn from the word matzot that you don't bring a revucha? Omer of Papa, you gotta fill in the blanks, man. You gotta think. What it means over here is that Talmud Lomar matzot, to teach me that what we're meant to do is only the things that the Torah uses the word matzot on. Now, does it ever say in any pasuk, when it's talking about revucha, does it ever use the word matzot? No. It does talk about matzot and everything else. Sal matzot, solat, chalot, pelulot, b'shemen, rikike, matzot, b'shuchin, b'shemen. Show me one place where it ever says revucha matzot. It never does. So if, since it stresses matzot, the salah matzot is dafka, not revucha, because there's no mention ever of matzot by revucha. The Vei Rabbi Shmuel said, that's not where we know it from. When it says Talmud Lomar matzot, it means that since you have in the pasuk the general word matzot, it's not necessary. Talk about chalot or rikik. If it wants to say matzot, what you actually have done is you created a klal and a prat. Because now, by saying that extra matzot, you've given a general term to the set. It's called a klal. Now, when you say chalot or kikin, now that's a prat. But once you've set up a klal or prat, then you're stuck with the halacha of klal or prat, ein b'klal ala mashe b'prat, which means that the only matzot that are brought are the chalot and rekikin that are beferish mentioned here. Yes. Midi achrina, lo. Nothing else would be able to be brought, because we've been actually specifying this and nothing else. And now a word from our poor, overworked Capitan. After stretching himself over the generations to be with the Miluim, we have to bring him down to earth and speak a little bit about our Toda again. With great Toda to our Capitan, go give it to us.
Zogt de heilige Mishnah.
Thank you, Sir Richard. All right, so remember, we learned out from Todat Shlamav, and we call it Zevach Todat Shlamav. So what we learned out before is that Zevach Todat Shlamav teaches us that only the Zvicha, what's Zvicha? Zvicha is a Shechita. Only the Shechita of the Karban Teda is what is Mekadesh the Lachmei Teda. That's what we said before, that we don't put the Lachmei Teda into a klisharis to be Mekadesh them. It's the Shechita of the Teda that's Mekadesh the Lachmei Teda. So now the question is, what is the physical relationship that is necessary to connect the chalot to the Toda? So let's imagine a case that somebody shechted his Karban Teda inside of the Azara, and the lechem of the Teda was outside of the Choma. Now, we're not quite sure what that means. Does it mean it was outside of the Choma of the Azara, and it wasn't physically next to it? Or does it mean it was outside of Yerushalayim, and therefore it wasn't in a place where you're allowed to eat the Toda? That we'll see as a machlokas. But whatever it means, lo kadash alecha. Since it wasn't connected at that moment to the actual behima of the lechem of the Teda, so it can't be called the lechem of that Teda. Or let's imagine another case. Suppose the Toda is right here, and the lechem is right here, but it hasn't finished baking yet. And we had just put it into the oven 10 minutes ago, and it doesn't even, I shouldn't say 10 minutes ago, because we're talking about things that bake very quickly. So we just put it in 30 seconds ago, and lo kol mupaneh batanur, it has not yet turned that baked color, that brown color on top, and it didn't harden, it was still doughy. And if it's still doughy, it's not considered to be baked lechem chalot. And therefore, if I shechted it before the lechem was completed, then it would be the same problem. Even, as a matter of fact, even if 9 out of 10 of what was being finished in the oven was completed, and just one was on the side, so it didn't get heated as much and wasn't completed, it's still lo kadash alechem, and it's still not going to be kadosh. Now, the first question is, when you say chutz l'choma, what do you mean? Which choma? Rabbi Yochanan Amar, it means chutz l'chomat beit pagi. It means the outermost wall of Yerushalayim that we call the beit pagi, that includes the area that was previously outside. Now Yerushalayim extends all the way to Beit Pagi, and if it was outside of that, so then it cannot be Mekabel the Kedusha, because this is not in the Mokum of the Achilas HaTeda. That's what it means. Reish Lakish says, no, it means that it wasn't next, literally next, meaning it had to be somewhere in the same Azar that you're doing the Shechit of the Teda. So when it says Chutz L'Choma, it means Chutz L'Choma to Azara. So, okay, so what's the machlokas over here? Well, we've had this machlokas actually before, and everyone's going to ask why we need it again. Reish Lakish says, chutz chomat azara, because he understands that the word al that we said, al the lechem, so means literally on top of it, meaning bisamuch. It's got to be right next to it. And remember, we learned this out from the pasuk, ve'alav mate min asheh, which means that the very next one to be makriv was Matem Menashe. So when it says Al Zevach HaToda, Chalot Matzot, etc., what does Al mean? Right next to that Toda, which obviously we can't get right on top of it, but it has to be in the same Rishus. So it's got to be in the Azara. If it was not in the Azara, you weren't Mekayim, the Zevach Toda, to be Al Zevach HaToda, Chalot Matzot. And therefore, it can't be Kodesh, whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, but if it was in Yerushalayim anywhere, You don't need al to mean literally physically besamuch. It just needs to be halachically besamuch. This can be eaten anywhere in Yerushalayim. So if you shechted the zevach and the teida, the lachme teida, were inside of Yerushalayim, that would be fine. That's also called al. But says the Gemara, we know that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish, they've had this argument before. Now, why do we need to repeat? We know already. Remember that one of the big inyanim of Divrei Torah is that it's supposed to be derech tzara. We don't speak unnecessarily and preserve things in the Gemara that is meant for deres to define and preserve the same machlokas in two places where you're supposed to be able to understand that this machlokas is no geya wherever it is that Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish are going to be discussing this inyan. This, by the way, is a very profound, I believe, raya that the derech of the Tesvis, which some of the Chachmei Sfarad were very against the derech of the Tesvis. Remember the main thesis of the Baalei Tesvis, the Baalei Tesvis were hundreds of people, but the main thesis of the whole group of those deres over two centuries of people and hundreds of people that were learning along this line was a tremendous new work. The Tesvis decided that you have to have a shas that is integrated and makes sense as a whole. And you can't find that there's going to be a shita in the Gemara and Brachas that is going to not have the same yesedas as that same inyan that is brought in the Seches Vachim. And therefore, they went through the entire shas asking every time that it seemed one piece of Gemara seemed inconsistent with the other. And they asked every single kasha that was necessary to resolve the entire shas as being completely consistent in terms of the underlying principles of each sugya. Now, there were many of the Chachmei Svarad at the time that considered this to be an Ashkenazic insanity. And actually, each sugya is supposed to be a sugya on its own. And it doesn't necessarily mean that it has to be, when it was learned in a different context, that it has to be that everybody would say the same thing that they said elsewhere, and the Gemara is taken for granted that the Yesedas are the same. Maybe each one works according to a different level of judgment that's a contextual judgment. So here, the fact that the Gemara says, why would we say that they would argue two times about the same thing? We find this very often in the Gemara. That's something that we meet constantly in the Gemara. But we've already had this machlokas. We haven't really had this machlokas. We had a machlokas which indicates that this is the yesod of the machlokas, of how to understand the word al. Does al mean besamuch, or does the al mean just halachically besamuch? And since we had that yesod of a machlokas elsewhere, why is the Gemara bringing it in a totally different context?
Okay. Doesn't that seem to imply that the way the Tosfos, Baalei Tosfos are doing it, it makes more sense?
I'm just saying that the Gemara is taking that for granted. That if a yesod appears in one context, it would appear in another context. If it doesn't, the Gemara is essentially asking a Tosfos is kasha over here. Mm-hmm. So if we have that same machlokas, because we had this really in Pesachim, it says over there, Ashochet et ha-Pesach al-ha-chameit, so verbalotaseh. Amazing how all of our sugyas are mamish in preparation here for the Karban Pesach. So if you shecht a Pesach while you still have chametz in your rishus, you're over on a lo ta'aseh, because it says, lo tizbach al chametz dam zivchi. Rav Yehuda says, dam zivchi is meramez also to an additional zeva, and that is even the tamid shabein arbay of Erev Pesach, that's karbani, Karban Lachmi, that's Zivchi. So that Zevach also, if you shechted the Karban Tamid ala Chametz, you would also be over on the Lotaseh of Lotis Bachal Chametz Dam Zivchi. Vamar Rish Lakish. So Rish Lakish said, yes, but you would not be chayef for shechting al HaChametz, that's the Lashon, al HaChametz Dam Zivchi, unless you have either the Shochet or the Zorek, or one of the Bnei HaChabura have chametz, and it has to be there in the Azara when he's doing the Shchita. Oh my gosh. So in other words, when it says al chametz, dam zefi means literally al chametz, next to the chametz. And Rabbi Yochanan said, it doesn't mean that. It means in his rishus, halachically. Afa pisha eni mo bazara. It doesn't have to be in the azara. So what's the machlokas? Same thing. Rish Lakish holds al means literally in physical proximity. And Rabbi Yochanan says, no, it means in his rishus. Says the Gemara, no, I need to have both of these examples of the machlokas of Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Tzrifa. Why is that? Because let's say I would only know it in the case of the Pesach. Yitmar bahi, I would have said, bahi ka'amar Rabbi Yochanan de kol echad ite bisurei koi. That's because you're not allowed to have chametz on that day, right? So, okay, if you're not allowed to have chametz on that day, then you're being over on an isser. We know you're being over on an isser. It's after chatzos, and you were supposed to be getting rid of your chametz before that, and therefore you're over the issur. So if you're over the issur, Rabbi Yochanan is saying, okay, so then that's the definition in context of lo tizbach al chametz dam zifchi. Those of you who remember our learning of the Rambam in these dinim will see how important this point that the Gemara is making is in terms of understanding that whole halacha. So therefore, I would say the issur of chametz in your rishus is directly nogea the iser of the shkita of the zevach al chametz. So Rabbi Yochanan said, so why would it have to be in physical proximity? Mashenke, when it comes to the din of the kedusha of the lach beteida from the teida, I don't know, maybe over there, since there's nothing that connects that lechem to the shkita of this teida, maybe it's only the physical proximity that would connect it, and Rabbi Yochanan would be made in that case to Rish Lakish, maybe. That davka yita bifnim kodesh avroi loy kodesh, and only if it's physically next to the inside. And if we only had the case over here of the lach beteida, I could have thought that maybe it's here that Rish Lakish holds, that since there's no other indication of the relationship between the lechem of the teida to the zevach of the teida, other than its physical proximity, maybe that's why Rish Lakish said it has to be al literally. But maybe Rish Lakish would be murdered to Rabbi Yochanan that if the halacha of the Isser Chametz is enough to unite the presence of the Chametz to the Zevach, that maybe be murdered to Rabbi Yochanan. And that even if the Chametz isn't with you in the Azor. Therefore, I need both of these shitas in both of these locations. And we actually seem to have a riot to Rabbi Yochanan. Tanika Vasili Rabbi Yochanan. Hashochet et hatodah lifnim. Here it says beferish, that if the lechem is outside of Yerushalayim, lo kadosh lechem. It doesn't say outside of the Azara, clearly like Rabbi Yochanan. Now, you then said in the Mishnah that if you do the shechit before the lechem is fully crusted, then it's not going to be kadosh. And even if one of them wasn't crusted, it's not going to be kadosh. Now, where do we know that from? The Tanur Rabbanan. Al chalot lechem chametz yakriv korbano al zevach. In fact, before we get to Todat Shlomav and so on, let's just read the pasuk up to that part. So what does that mean? The zevach has to be chalot lechem. So malamit she'ein alechem kodesh, ela imkein nikram kormu panea batanur, because that's what makes something into a lechem instead of a isa. And then when it continues on, yakriv korbano al zevach, that teaches us that it's the shchitas al zevach, that's makadosh lechem, which we learned before. Malamit she'ein lechem kadosh al b'shchitat al zevach. Then it says zevach todat, that teaches us that the zvich has to be l'shem teida, and if it's not l'shem teida, it would be kosher, but it's not going to have the kedusha of the lechem, and therefore the person who was neider the teida was not yotzi as neider. It's a kosher shlamim, but it's not going to be a teida without its lechem. Tan Rabbana, you can be mekayim the mitzvah of achilas matzah on Leil Pesach. Unbelievable to have these sugyas mamish erev Pesach. Wow. Okay. So you would be yotze even if your matzah was still only partially baked. So it's na. Remember, na doesn't mean raw. It means partially baked. Just like the Pesach, when it says, lotochmanu na. And you could actually be yotze with a matzah that was made in a sear pellet. You didn't have to make a matzah in a tanur. So the matzah could have been baked however you bake it. Right? So I think in the rova, what do they use? They use the, what does Ben Shachar use downstairs over there with lemon top? Just an open pan with the heating coils on top of it, right?
So like a lachuch, like a Yemenite panbird.
Yeah. So you can therefore make it in a matzah that's made inside of an ilfas. It's made in a pot. And when you say matzah, no, I mean, so to what shear of baking is it considered to be matzah? I mean, it has to be baked. I mean, otherwise if it's not baked, there's going to be chametz anyway. So I'm Rav Yoram Shmuel. The key is, kol shepor sava in chutinim shachinimena. If it's been baked to the point that when you separate the matzah, you break it into two pieces, there's not going to be any sticky stuff that would be doughy that would come out and would be drawing little strands of dough that you pull when you tear it. So that's already considered to be sufficiently baked. Oh, my Rava, that's true of the Lachme Teda as well. They don't have to hold together to be mamish baked into a beautiful single challah. As long as if you break them into two, there wouldn't be chutim nimshachim, that would be kosher for Lachme Teda. Well, obviously. Pshita, I mean, the same word lechem is used for lechem matzah, and it's used for the lechem of the Lachme Teda. So what's the finish? Of course it's the same. No. It's not necessarily true. Because remember what we learned from the word echad mikol lechem, when we're talking about the truma? So we learned over there that it has to be shalom. Shelo yitol parus. So then that means, I might have thought that that includes the concept of each lechem of the teda being shalom. And I would think that something that is still not fully baked and is easily going to fall apart, maybe that's called commanda prisadamia. It would be the equivalent of being broken up, and the Torah says it can't be broken up. So Rav is coming to tell me, don't create any such new halachas. It's still, nonetheless, it's the same lechem as it was for the lechem of the matzah for Pesach. Okay. Now, let's talk about another case. Itzma. You shechted a teda over 80 challah instead of 40. Okay, so, and of course you made each one the way you'd have to make it. In other words, you made double the amount also of esronot. It's not as if these challot were not good challot, it's just you've got double the number of challot. So what's the din over there? As we said before, that if you make more challot, that's not a problem. Some akiv b'diavad, remember? Less chalot, more chalot, that's not a problem. Here we're not talking about less chalot, more chalot. We're talking about doubling the chalot because we doubled the solet. So what's the din in such a case? So Chizkiah says, well, 40 out of the 80 became kodesh, and there's no problem. You'll ask me, what do you mean there's no problem? So how would I be able to give the coin his truma, if I don't know which they are? So it depends. If they were put into separate piles, there's 40 and 40s, then I take one of each type from each pile. That way the coin gets double, but one of them is vadai his truma. If it's all mixed together in one big pile of shmonim, so then I take 11 from each type. If I take 11 from each type, I definitely took one that came because there were only 10 of each one. So I must have one from the other group. And that way, the Kohen gets his, for sure, his one. But that's not a problem. And because of that, Chizkiah says, okay, why not have 40 of them being Kodesh? Rabbi Yochanan says, no, none of them become Kodesh. You cannot create a Toda bringing 80. Because since you can't have all 80 and you don't have a specific 40 and you need the 40, so if you made a netter to bring a teda, you didn't bring a teda. You brought a kosher carbon, yes, you brought a kosher carbon, very nice. Now go out and bring yourself a carbon teda. Amar Rebbe Zera, let me explain. It's not as straightforward as it sounds. it depends how it was phrased, you know? Everybody is moda over here. There's no machlokas between Chizkia and Rabbi Yochanan. If the guy said beferish, 40 out of these 80 should be kodesh. Okay, so then everybody is moda. But at that point, of course, they become kodesh because the fact that he had extra lechem here, that's like brought in case something happens to the other lechem. I mean, we often find that people show up with double the number of karbonas because maybe something will happen, you know. So they bring that as backups. Okay, so that's called meiser. So they mean meiser teda. Now, that should be the case over here. Or let's say the guy said, absolutely, I don't want these 40 to be kodesh. I insist that all 80 have to be kodesh. And if all 80 aren't kodesh, I don't want any of them to be kodesh. Well, over there, there's nothing to discuss. Chizki agrees over there also to that, that if he said, beferish al yagdishu arba'im, ela im ken yikdashu shmonim, I don't want 40, I only want 80. Even Chizki agrees. Well, there's no such thing. You can't be mekadesh al 80. So therefore, lo kacho. So what's the question? The machlokes between Chizki and Rabbi Yochanan is in a case where you didn't say anything. You just brought 80. So Mar Sovar is just achrayas, right? So, okay, Chizkia says, well, so what's the problem? People often back up with, in order to have achrayas in case something happens, and that's fine. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, this guy really wants to bring a super-duper taita, and there ain't no such animal. And therefore, since the carbon godok on a chavein, you're not yotze. Abaya says, that's not the machlokas. Everybody agrees that clearly this guy's got a Trump complex, and he is going to have to be bringing a carbon that trumps anybody else's carbon taida. And therefore, he meant a carbon gadol, chamechave. And that's for sure. And not only that, but our question over here is, how does his intent affect the question of whether the klisharet made the lechem kodesh or not? So the klisharet, what's the klisharet in this case? The sakin of the shechita, remember, is zevach todat shlamav. It brings the kedusha to the lechem. Now, the question is, if the klisharet works without the intent of the mind, so it doesn't require the consciousness of the person who brought it, that's the machlokas. Chizkia holds that a klisharet is mekadesh shelo midat. So therefore, in this case, this man's conscious intent is irrelevant because there ain't no such animal. So we can basically ignore his Trumpian desire to outdo every other truma. And his zevach is mekadesh automatically without his das. So he doesn't have any brains. So fine, let the zevach be mekadesh it all on its own. Whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, if he doesn't have a usable das, then the sakin is not going to be mekadesh, because the sakin is a standard klisharis, and a klisharis is ein mekadesh and shalomi das. Rav Papa says, you don't even have to make that the machlokas, because a sakin is not a normal klisharis. And the machloket over here is how to view a sakin. It could be that for a normal kli sharet that has an area that contains things, which is the way that a kli is usually mekadesh by being in the kli, well, there is no in the sakin. So it could be that everybody agrees that normally kli sharets are mekadesh and shalom idah. The question is, what's the din of a sakin? So Chizkia holds, well, a sakin is like a kli sharet, whereas Rabbi Yochanan says, no, a sakin doesn't have any toch, and therefore it doesn't have the power to be mekadesh the way a regular kli of a kli sharet has, because it's like a semi-kli. It doesn't contain anything. So therefore, in order for a sakin to be mekadesh, it needs to have the das of the owner. Or others say just the opposite. The Rav Papa says, well, a sakin is not a normal klisharis. It's better than a normal klisharis. So maybe here both Chizkia and Rabbi Yochanan agree the kuleyama klisharis ain't mekachin ela bedat. And what is the machlokas? The sakin is special. So Chizkia holds that a sakin is better than a typical klisharetz. Sakin is alima miklisharetz. Because the proof that it's better is that the Torah said that the sakin of the zvicha is mekadesh the lachme teda, whereas normally a kli cannot be mekadesh something that's not inside of it. So obviously a sakin is a super duper kind of klisharetz, and therefore, since afagav the less leitoch it's mekacha, it would be mekadesh even sholomi das abaylin. Bashenkin Rabbi Yochanan holds a sakin is like any other klisharis. And a sakin is lo alima mlemi klisharis, and therefore it cannot be mekadesh without the das of the balim.